fruitive activities and mental speculation. So right now I'm doing my dissertation on the fifth canto, and there's like 12, I have a list of about 12 Vaishnavacharyas who have commented on it, and I'm going through it all, and it'd be so easy to just like kind of think of your own version, you know what I mean? You can only take what the authorities are saying, and you have to find something that works. You have to put it all together. Of course, I've gone through them all, and I think one of them isn't in line with all the rest, so perhaps, I'm not sure, because I don't know the Acharya very well, but he may be... he seems that he's rejecting Sridhar Swami. So we have a lot of this, regardless of... we have to accept our Acharyas and respect them, but there are many other people who... they're reading these shastras and they're just throwing in their own speculations. Bhagavad Gita is a big one. Prabhupada says, he says, how many versions was there when he translated it? 700 or something? He said there's hundreds of versions of this Bhagavad Gita, and none of them are speaking the point of Bhagavad Gita. And sometimes you think, Prabhupada, you're just exaggerating a little bit. You know, maybe he's just... Sometimes you think Prabhupada might be exaggerating, because the way he speaks it sounds a little outrageous sometimes, kind of fantastic. But we did in my first year of the college here, we did a course called The Modern Interpretations of Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada wasn't exaggerating. If you wonder why he says the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead over and over and over and over and over again, it's because no one else wanted to mention it, and he really wanted to make sure that we were certain of it, because if you miss that, then you miss the whole point of this whole book. Tamal Krishna Maharaj has now written his PhD thesis, and he said there's two phrases Prabhupada uses as his Mahavakyas. This is a term... I suppose it means like great, something spoken that is great, ma vakya. But it's like the verses that if some commentator on the Vedanta Sutra, they will, or any Upanishad, they will say what they think is the Mahavakya. What is the great verse? What is the great phrase that is important? And Shankaracharya will have his version of what it is. And, you know, he'll pick ones that really are nirguna, naiti, naiti, neti, neti, and all these, like, he picks all the ones that really kind of support his impersonal view. And the Vaishnavacharyas will pick, you know, a different one. They say, no, this is the most important verse. And from either Vishwanath Chakravarti or Baladev Vijayabhushana, we have the Chatrasloki of the Bhagavad Gita, the 10.8, 10.9, 10.10, 10.11. And these are what they're saying in the Mahavakyas. These are the essential verses of the Gita, and the Bhagavatam again. These are the essential verses, and Sridhar Swami, I think, is pointing this out. Is that correct, Madhu? From the very beginning, saying these are these four verses. They're essential to the Bhagavatam. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he says, Prabhupada's Mahavakyas are these two phrases. Can you guess them? And I said one. Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead, and something goes along with that. Something goes along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What fits in with him? Devotional service. And it's... Yeah, because bhakti is what he's translating to devotional service, and bhakti can mean devotion. But Prabhupada's added this service. So this is the Mahavakyas of Prabhupada. And this is why he says it over and over and over again. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj went through the Vedabase, and I'm sure they did it in Bhanipeda as well. The amount of times Prabhupada says these phrases. It's thousands. It's outrageous. So this is like the essence of our philosophy. Krishna is a person, and God is a person, and we have a devotional service with this person. You know, we we have relationship with this person, we're devoted, we serve. This is the essence of our philosophy. And Prabhupada uses this universal form chapter to really emphasize that. And that's why like a lot of our chapters have been about rasa and relationship. Because this is really, as he's concluding, Krishna is the original, not Vishnu, not this Vishwarupa, this is just a temporary manifestation. Krishna is the original. He's the Rasa Raj, he's the king of rasa. And these other forms are a multiple. There's many Vishnu tattvas. There's unlimited. But there's Krishna expands himself in the rasa dance, for example, but there's really there's one Krishna, you know what I mean? He's the origin. He's this Swayam Bhagavan. So he has that. And you see Prabhupada always ranks the spiritual world at the top. The pure devotee does not even want salvation. He does not want to be transferred even to the highest planet, Goloka Vrindavan. There's my next point. So I remember, you hear this, the pure devotee doesn't even want to be liberated. And you think, but, if you go to Goloka Vrindavan, don't you have a relationship with Krishna? Isn't that everything that you do there? The advantage of that, at least you don't have to be afraid that you might be liberated to Goloka Vrindavan. Because, I think some devotees are afraid of being, they're terrified because they know they have so many material desires and they've got some kind of devotional credit and they don't want to end up in the heavenly planets because they don't think they'll make it out. Once they're there, they're gone. Of course, I'm pretty sure I know a lot of devotees who wouldn't mind getting stuck in the heavenly planets once you read the descriptions. But, yeah, we think it's like, oh, come on, I'm so close. Don't get caught up for another, unlimited lifetimes. Just come on. But it's not to... there's this discussion with Rupa Goswami. I can't remember who comes. He asks a contemporary about his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and this person's like, I don't like how you've compared liberation to a witch. And he takes that advice, and then Jiva Goswami then corrects this person. Anyway, there's a whole story behind that whole episode, but in the end, the conclusion is we don't say that liberation is bad. Perhaps we're not so much into impersonal liberation. We don't say that going back to Godhead is bad. Definitely not. But it's not the main thing we're even focusing on. We're focusing on a relationship with Krishna. And I think why? If you're in the material world, even if you've got a relationship with Krishna, you're going to experience the pangs of material misery. You've still got imperfect senses and this and that. But if you have a relationship with Krishna, this is the most wonderful thing. This is the most important thing. Goloka Vrindavan, the residents are upset with the opulences that get in the way of their relationship. They curse at the beautiful breezes and the beautiful fragrances, etc. Because the relationship with Krishna is so, so wonderful. It's the essence of all pleasure. And this isn't so fantastic to understand. It sounds a little bit unreasonable and outrageous. Just one relationship with one person could make all other miseries go away. If you think that's a little bit outrageous, you need to watch a few old romantic movies. Nowadays, I've noticed is the change is now reality. It's all about the broken family, and there's the gay uncle, and it's all really modern. In the old days, it was all about Prince Charming and falling in love and living happily ever after. But you have this outlook is still kind of with us. You have a relationship with someone that's so meaningful that nothing else matters. And Romeo and Juliet, their families were battling, and sorry to compare mundane things, but just something we can almost relate to. Their life was not worth living without each other. And even in the Vedas, we have all these, the Puranas, more specifically, you have these rites of sati. People criticize them like anything. Now, how this is such a male-driven movement. When the male is dead, the woman has to jump in a fire. No, these people are so attached. This person can't live without this other person. they cannot live. They would rather engulf themselves in flames, and people criticise it to the death. Yet we praise Shakespeare for his Romeo and Juliet. Confusing. Of course, perhaps they're not criticising that as much as they're criticising the forced rites of sati, which later came into play when relatives were ridding themselves of the expense of an additional person in the house by drugging them and putting them in a fire. That is not what we're looking at. But this is an act of love, and Krishna has this most supreme love where you have a relationship with him and nothing else can faze you, you know. You could be in hell. Prahlad Maharaj was in a boiling pot of oil. And we always say that, we always hear that Krishna protected him, but I never know the detail. Was it that he was burning and that Krishna was taking away the pain, or was it that he was untouched? Or was he just, obviously he was completely absorbed the whole time. So even regardless, his absorption was so intense that nothing would have fazed him anyway. And you see that Prabhupada here is giving the example of Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified. He was so adamant about his relationship with God that he was willing to die for it. Are we willing to die for it? You know, you read Salted Bread. I haven't read it. I saw a nice film of a play in Chaupati, and that was enough to rip up some emotions. But these devotees, I don't know if they were fundamental or they were pure devotees or whatever their level of faith was, but they were going through horrendous torture for Krishna. And, you know, all they had to do was sign that they were not going to practice anymore, or that they were conned into it. There was some ridiculous thing they had to sign. It was so easy. They could just sign it and walk away at any point. No. And these devotees were either tortured or some died in horrible ways. And they're just, no, it was for Krishna. So, not that we go out and do a kamikaze run or anything. We don't have any kind of crazy doctrines like that in our movement. There's no car bombing or suicide bombing or anything, but we emphasize that our relationship with Krishna is worth more than our life, and the life beyond this, and a life of opulence. We don't need anything else. And who is the banana salesman? What is his name again? Kulavetashruta. He sells banana. Was he selling banana leaves? He made some cups out of banana leaves or plates. Well, yeah, he was, and then he was taking half of whatever he earned, which was nothing, took half to support him and his family, maybe, and the rest was for Ganga Puja. Not because he was some ritualistic demigod worship, but because he was a bhakta. You know, this was, and he wasn't willing to really do anything else than sell little banana leaves because he was so absorbed. You know, and Sudama Vipra was so absorbed, he wasn't even collecting for his family. And of course, this has been misinterpreted perhaps in our movement. There has been many families that have not been provided for in the name of Krishna. Not necessarily encouraging that we go and disregard all our duties immaturely, as Krishna did not encourage Arjuna to leave the battlefield, but we encourage absorption in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, he's coined a phrase here, Krishna karma, and he's used it multiple times in this purport, activity for Krishna. This is what we have to do. It's a pretty simple process. Do it for Krishna. Do things for Krishna. Have Krishna in mind. Your business, Krishna is the proprietor, not you. I know someone who does this. And you know, you split 50-50? So they split 50-50 and they give some donation to the temple, and the rest of the 50% that's for Krishna goes back into the business because Krishna is the proprietor. So they say, I don't know if this is the right way or wrong way, but for them, this is how they do it. And giving 50% for some people is very difficult. I'm not running a family right now, so charity is not yet my biggest thing. But, you know, the point is that whether it's 50% of your income or 50% of your mind, something has to be dedicated to Krishna. Preferably everything, but if not... And it makes everything easy. I mean, it's not such a fanatical idea to do your duties for Krishna. And it does work. And it becomes very personal. You know, we say you serve your children because it's Krishna wants you to, or it's for Krishna, in honor of Krishna. Especially in devotee communities, this is easy because your children and your parents and your friends, they're all devotees. Hopefully. Of course, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, he says, the son of a Vaishnava could very well be a Malecha. And we have a little bit of that, I admit, in our second generation. Just because you give birth to a child does not mean they will become a devotee. Or it may not mean they will become a devotee straight away. And not and even Advaita Acharya, Vishnu Tattva, half of his sons were Mayavadis. And who else do we have? Varaha, his sons through Bhumi, were also demons. So it's not that we create purebred German children. We create progeny with the opportunity to give them service. But ultimately also, an Uttama Adhikari sees everyone as a devotee. So we serve everyone. And we give everyone Krishna. And we, you know, we're just courteous to people. I know a lot of devotees, they neglect all material endeavors, which means, you know, being nice to people, being polite is immaterial, you know. We should not be polite. You know, it's just give them Krishna, and if they don't want Krishna, just, you know, they're atheists. there's nothing good there. No, I mean, everyone is a soul waiting to be reunited with Krishna, and they've misinterpreted their existence, and they've fallen into this world like we have. So we just have to give them Krishna. And it's easy. I mean, I used to write music and I used to try to put Krishna into everything very artificially. And sometimes, not artificially, sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. But the point is, you just put him in there. He fits everywhere. A lot of people like to really artificially just try to, how does Krishna fit into this? You know, let's try to put him, you know, maybe we can just sticky tape him on top of it. No, Krishna is in everything. It's not hard to... everything can be used in his service. I won't get into the ins and outs of that. You know, you can say, what about prostitution and all these things? You can extend that, but you can extend your doubts, but it's better to just practice in your own life. Do everything for Krishna. It's not such a far-out concept. And you give everyone Krishna. And Prabhupada says... what does he say? He says, preaching can be difficult. He says it in his purport, so if anyone says preaching's easy, you can say, well, actually, Prabhupada said it was difficult. It is and it isn't, you know. Devotional service is easy because it is the natural position of the soul, but it's difficult because we've built so much ignorance in this regard. So we have to remind ourselves, though, that this is the natural thing. It's not that we're trying to be Krishna conscious, is that we're trying to be natural again. We're just trying to relax, so to speak, come back to our natural state, let go of everything else, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes it's just so difficult to just stop for 5 minutes in the day and just do nothing. Be Brahman, be one. Not just to like relax and stop your mind from reeling. Stop your anxiety, stop thinking what's next. We find it so difficult to just, no problem, you know, the world's not going to end. You know, 12-12-12 was yesterday, we're still alive. So we find it so difficult, and it's kind of the same situation with, you know, accepting our pure identity. It's like it's just like stopping and just, you know, just realizing it, but our minds are so caught up in our fruitive activities and our mental speculation that we just can't do it. So sometimes it's a good at least to theoretically stop and realize, wait a minute, I'm not the supreme controller, I'm not the supreme enjoyer. Let's do something for Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Realizations? Madhuk. He's the head of gods. Yeah, it has some kind of, there's a terminology reason there. You have to go and look up the word, get like a good dictionary, because when we were doing classical medieval Western philosophy, the term godhead came up, and it was like, I think when I was reading it was even a place, but it's so people are saying God, but we're just saying, well, you know, Vishnu is God in our tradition. Ram is God. Buddha is God. We always say, no, we're monotheists, but we have so many gods. We're monopolytheists. We're also kind of pantheists, but not really. We even have monism a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Krishna is like, he's up there. There's gods with no capital. We use demigods. Of course, people like... demigods is tended to use for people like Hercules and these half-god people. But we use it for who they would call gods. So that's like their Zeus is our Indra, so to speak. So they're the gods, the demigods, but we call them. Anyway, they're the demigods. And then we have God with a capital G, plural. We have gods. We have gods and gods. And then we have Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, Supreme Bhagavan. He's the original Bhagavan. So yeah, I mean, it has to be clarified like that, because otherwise... And sometimes you see Prabhupada, he'll sometimes say personality of Godhead or the supreme Godhead. He kind of shortens the phrase. And I always wanted to go and research that. Is he talking about Vishnu or who's he talking about? You know what I mean? Because we have plenty of supreme personalities and we have plenty of gods, but Krishna is up a little bit more. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who they are, and they're my seniors. But oh, is he possibly using it for the outside audience? Because the phrase, like you said, it's like, what is this phrase? We're just like, oh, you know, I grew up with this phrase. I'm like, yeah, Godhead, and people say the who what? You know, it's like, and we have to watch out with that too. We always use our terminology, and people, you know, you got a bit of Victorian English, you got a little bit of different coin phrases, you got a little bit of 60s jargon in there. People don't know all this terminology like we do. So yeah, I mean, Stephen Knapp, he's probably approaching outside audiences with that. Supreme Personality God. Yeah. Okay. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. Thank you.
happened.